Welcome to the second Hashkafa part of Hamidrash Shah for this year. We're going to be learning Sefer Mesilas Yesharim. Mesilas Yesharim is one of the most, if not the most, widely known Sefer of Musar, of Jewish ethics, of self-perfection that's out there in the Jewish world. It's lauded, it's respected, it's used by many aspects of the Musar movement, by every yeshiva and seminary now, basically holds it up as its flag of Musar that you learn wherever you may be. Mesilas Yesharim is again, maybe the most critical, key, fundamental text in Jewish Musar, which is why we picked it to round out in our Hashkafa piece of the Midrashah, to give the perspective of Musar as a perspective. That being said, it's also very much the Ramchal. And we have two Ramchals in the Midrashah program over the course of the 3 years. We have Derech Hashem, we have Mesilas Yesharim. And the reason why it was okay that we doubled up is because we're going to see two very, very, very different sides of the Ramchal. Little background on who the Ramchal was, because it impacts tremendously the Sefer. All of his works are very much an impact of his life, and we'll just do some quick background on who the Ramchal was. The Ramchal, this is not Wikipedia, I just forgot to print my notes. The Ramchal was born in Padua, Italy in 1707. He was an unparalleled genius at a very young age, and according to our tradition, he memorized both Nigla and Nistar, both the hidden and the revealed Torah, by the age of 14, and it was said of him that he did not know what it meant to forget. Nobody argues that the Ramchal was a genius. This is like that. Like there were issues. There were issues around the Ramchal. There were. We'll talk about it in a second. People who had issues with the Ramchal, but nobody argued that he was an unparalleled genius. The Vilna Gaon. This is quoted in like all over the place. The Gra is famous for saying that the Ramchal had the most profound understanding of Judaism that any mortal human could attain. He furthermore stated, this is quoting from Arya Kaplan's introduction to Derech Hashem in the English in Feldheim, he furthermore stated that if the Ramchal were alive in his generation, he would go by foot from Vilna to Italy to sit at his feet and learn from him. That's the Gra. Just recognize that we're not talking about somebody who wrote a book. We're talking about the Ramchal, and the Ramchal was one of the greatest Torah giants that ever lived. However, things got a little bit more controversial when he turned 20. Once he finished mastering all of Nigla and Nistar, according to our tradition, or certainly he records it as such, a magid, some sort of angelic figure, began to visit him, and he started to learn Kabbalah from an angel on a fairly consistent basis. He learned Kabbalah from a magid. When you run out of Torah to learn, that's what happens. A magid came and started to teach him. And he created a small group, a secret group, that was learning these Sitrei Torah, these secrets of Torah, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, on rotation, to make sure that these Torahs are always being learned in a way to spiritually continue to upkeep the world. Like all good secrets, his did not last very long. And the rest of the world started to find out that there was this 20-year-old, as the world saw it, there was this 20-year-old guy who supposedly knew way more than he should know at his age, because he had an incredible mind, who was engaging in Kabbalah, and on top of that is now learning Kabbalah that he's learning from an angel with other people in a generation that was post-Shabtai Tzvi. That was frightening. That was legitimately grounds to be called heretical, even though those who said it were wrong about the Ramchal. And he suffered tremendous persecution for the rest of his life, for his genius and for his love for and teaching of and relationship to Kabbalah. This is from a group of some of the largest rabbis in Europe. This wasn't also from a group of Stam people either. These were the Gedolei Hador who were turning on him because they were legitimately frightened by what had happened with Shabtai Tzvi, and they really thought this could be the next case of it. Eventually, he gave up on Italy because Italy wasn't working out for him, and like all the people who were looking for a little bit more freedom, he moved to Amsterdam, hoping that, that he would have more of an ability to be able to teach what he wanted to teach and write what he wanted to write. And he had a little bit more freedom in Amsterdam, but he didn't have as much as he wanted there either. and eventually did make his way to Eretz Yisrael. When he was in Amsterdam, that's actually where he wrote the majority of the works that we're familiar with. That's where he wrote Mesilas Yesharim, as we're familiar with it. That's where he wrote Derech Hashem. A lot of his most widely known works, where, not surprisingly, the Kabbalah is muted. If you were to look at Mesilas Yesharim, if you look at Derech Hashem, it's all a pi Kabbalah, but without the Kabbalah. Because he was actually not allowed to teach Kabbalah publicly in either of those places. But he still felt people needed to know it. He deeply believed that people needed to know Torah from a holistic perspective. In all levels of Torah, Pshat, Remez, Drash, and Sod. And so he wrote these texts at that time where the Kabbalah was muted, but it still very much permeated his works without ever explicitly saying it. And that's where Mesilas Yesharim and Derech Hashem were written. He eventually did make his way to Eretz Yisrael, and he passed away in Akko in 1747 at the age of 39. On the 26th of Iyar, on the 41st day of the Omer, which itself has some interesting Torahs about, which we won't get into here. The Ramchal is buried next to Rabbi Akiva in Tveria. Now, take or leave the rest of this, but here are what some people note about the fact that he's buried next to Rabbi Akiva in Tveria. And that is that Rabbi Akiva is known in Kabbalistic literature to be an extension of Moshe. Even in Chazal's literature, there's the story of Moshe sitting in Rabbi Akiva's class and not even knowing what Rabbi Akiva was talking about. That somehow Rabbi Akiva reached heights like Moshe in a certain way in terms of Limud Torah. And many talk about somehow there being an aspect of Moshe even within Rabbi Akiva. And others say that this is an example of the fact that Rabbi Akiva was then extended into the Ramchal. Meaning Moshe was also extended into the Ramchal. The Ramchal is short for Rav Moshe Chaim. And so there are those who say that Moshe continued to live on on an actual spiritual level within Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato, who was an extension of the tradition of Kabbalah and of Kabbalah Satorah, or receiving of the Torah, and Kabbalah as Torah Tanistar, that started already with Moshe Rabbeinu. Take it or leave it, he is legitimately buried next to Rabbi Akiva, who himself was the originator of Sitrei Torah. He was the only one in that story in the Gemara where they all walk into Pardes to walk out normal, healthy, and alive. And then began to teach people like Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, who brought about Sitrei Torah and Kabbalah. You had a question, you thought.
Yeah, I was just wondering, did he write any books before, like 20 years?
Great, so let's unpack the Ramchal's life a little bit more, yeah. So in his younger life, he did write. He wrote a tremendous amount. He was incredibly prolific. Many of his works, once things got out, were burned. We have a tradition that there is a lot of his works which were put into a chest and buried before they could be burned, and we kind of hope to find them still in Italy somewhere one day.
This is all, like, before.
Yeah, I mean, once he got to Amsterdam, like, Mesilas Yesharim and Derech Hashem were fine.
Right, right.
The earlier works, the fact that we have so many of his earlier works is really B'yad Hashem.
Okay.
Because we shouldn't have them. They should be gone. They were legitimately, people were seeking them out and burning them.
Right.
And it's amazing that we have as much of his work as we do.
Right.
In addition to being incredibly prolific and writing in a very deep way, in a very deep way that brought about a clarity of Judaism, like we quoted before from the Gra, that nobody else seemed to have ever had. He was also a tremendous and dynamic personality, which you, like, don't hear so much. You kind of imagine all of these old rabbis with their, you know, sitting wherever they lived, in their robes or their turban, the long beard, sitting there stoic, not smiling, and sitting there just bent over a book all day. The Ramchal had a tremendous personality. He wrote plays, he wrote poems. He actually wrote secular plays which were put on in Italy, except that those secular plays, if you look at them carefully, are actually really stories of Kabbalistic realities clothed in stories and people. And he was actually teaching about Torah and Kabbalah to the masses through these plays, and nobody even realized it was happening. He was one of these dynamic people. He was a dynamic personality. And he also understood the value of education, that education happens in different modes. It happens from a play, it happens from a poem, it happens from a song. The importance of dialogue in learning, which hopefully as we go forward, and we're not just learning the history of the Ramchal, we're going to have in this room as well. I want there to be a dialogue here. I want there to be a conversation. It shouldn't just be me talking for half an hour. But the importance of dialogue. And so many of the Ramchal's earlier works were actually dialogues. One example of this is a sefer, which is still somewhat well-known, Da'at Tivunot, which is a conversation between the neshama and the seichel, the mind and the soul, struggling about how to get close to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It exists in English as the knowing heart, which in no way reflects the title of the book. But it exists in both Hebrew and English. It's called Das Tivunos, it's a sefer that very much discusses how a Kadosh Baruch Hu guides the world. He also didn't write the Mesilas Yesharim that we're familiar with first, and that brings us current. The Mesilas Yesharim that we're all familiar with is actually the second draft. It's the second version. What in this edition is called Seder HaPrakim, organized according to chapter. It very much reflects a culture where the Ramchal had to write like everybody else was writing, and had to organize things that everybody else was organizing them, and present things in a way that people could hear and listen to, because he was tremendously censored, and he was tremendously persecuted. Through Yad Hashem, again, through the greatness and the kindness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not so long ago was found an original manuscript of the original Mesilas Yesharim that he wrote first. It predates the second one, it predates the one that we're familiar with, and that's called Seder Vikuach, the dialogue version. The original Mesilas Yesharim was actually written by the Ramchal as a dialogue between a chacham and a chassid. An intelligent person and a chassid. Now, just to clarify here, we're post-Shabtai Tzvi, but we're pre-Baal Shem Tov. So no bekeshes and strimals. When we say chassid here, we mean the chassidim rishonim, the original pious people who he'll describe here, people who were saying mizmori tehillim all day, davening all day, engaged in musar, engaged in self-perfection, engaged in hit bodedut, in seclusion, and hit bonenut, contemplation. But these were people who were incredibly pious. So it's a conversation between somebody who's engaged solely in intellectual pursuit and somebody who's engaged primarily in self-perfection, a chassid and a chacham. And the chacham coming to the chassid and basically saying, what's the deal? Why are you doing what you do? That's not what Torah is supposed to be about. We're zilch in our generation to be able to have this, that we can just buy it in a Judaica store, and that we can learn this in the Midrashah. And this is why it totally differentiates itself from Derech Hashem, which we'll do either next year or the year after. Derech Hashem is very much a reflection of the way that he had to write when he was in Amsterdam. The Mesilas Yesharim in the dialogue version is so much more. You see his personality. You see what Torah learning and Torah living was really like in his generation, and the Ramchal's response to it, who is one of, as we saw from the Gra, and as we'll see from even reading him, one of the greatest Torah giants who ever lived. And one of the things that makes me so sad and why I'm so excited to learn this with you all is because, in my humble opinion, if you read the Seder Vikuach, which was his original version and his original intent, the way that we read Mesilas Yesharim is potentially antithetical to the Ramchal's actual outlook of what true Musar and true Jewish Hasidut and Jewish living actually is. And that's a strong statement to say, but I'll stand by it. Because as we read, even in the first, in the introduction of the book, which we're going to do inside, which we'll start with, meaning it's the very beginning of the book, the first 30 pages or so, the perspective of the chassid and the things that he's upset about and the things that he desperately, desperately wants us to do to be real Ovdei Hashem are things that we still don't talk about today, 300 years later. Are things that we're still suppressing 300 years later in terms of what true Avodas Hashem is meant to be. I don't mean to get emotional on the first day. I have tears in my eyes. It's something which I believe very deeply in, and it pains me as somebody who loves Torah. It's something which is muted in the yeshivas. It's something which is muted in the midrashot because they don't learn this version because they have a perspective, and I think that they stick to that perspective. And I think that nothing that I'm going to say is particularly earth-shattering once we actually read the Ramchal's own words. But open yourself up to the fact that it's very likely that even if you've learned Mesilas Yesharim before, you've never learned the perspective of the Ramchal before. And that's what we're going to get to do together. And that's what I'm so psyched up about, that we're going to get to do in this room. To that effect, we won't go... You know what? To that effect, we'll stop now. No, do we want to jump in and at least see a couple of lines of the Ramchal? I feel like we have to now see at least a few lines of the Ramchal. Okay, so we'll just do what I plan to do, which was only the first page or so. Like any good play, if any of you ever read a play in an English class or on your own free time, the first page is usually, what does it look like? What?
Prologue,
right. It's not, there's no dialogue happening. It's just text. It's setting the scene. And the Ramchal, who was writing a play in the Seder Vikuach, sets the scene for us. Exactly as you would with your narrator in the play, speaking on the microphone from behind the curtain. Okay? Here we go. Ish chacham haya. There was once a wise man. Asher natan lo Elokim leib chacham v'navon. God gave him a wise and understanding heart. V'yasim el livavo lator v'lidrosh b'chokhma. And he put into his heart to search and to investigate with his knowledge everything that was under the heavens. Day and night, his thoughts were never quiet. Latsud Said lahavid chakirot uvdikot bechol devar chokma. To constantly, Latsud Said means to go and hunt. He would hunt out to bring back new investigations and new examinations in all of the ways of chokma. Laharbot yediato ulahavil chokmato, to increase his knowledge and increase his understanding. And here it's interesting. He divides understanding and knowledge into two parts. Heim beperush haTorah v'hamitzvot, whether it was explicitly in the realm of Torah and mitzvot. Heim bedivrei hateva v'habriya bechol chalateha, bechokhmoteha u'melachoteha, and also in the ways of nature and creation and all of its aspects, its knowledge and its inner workings. Right, the actual paradigm of Torah umada, if you will. He believed that when one is a true chacham, he's describing here, if the Ramchal is calling him a chacham, he means he's a legitimate chacham, that in order to be a chacham, one needs to know all of Torah and all of the aspects of the physical world around us. And later on, he will actually define that more clearly, what that means, what counts as mada and what doesn't count as mada. Kol ha'davar ha'kasheh yakriv al shichlo lemor, anything that was difficult, he would pull it toward his mind, pull it toward his intellect, and say, rabetz ve'achav etzeah, reinforce your army and come out. Meaning, let's go, let's tackle this, let's understand this. Kizek kol yishol v'kol chafzo. This is his entire salvation, his entire desire, leharbot yidiot v'chidushei haskala, to increase knowledge and ways of intellect. Makom asher yachol ha'seichel leharot sham et yachar tiferet gedulato, v'koach yado kirafu. Any place where the mind was able to show its glory and its greatness, the mind was able to show its greatness by understanding things, and the strength of its hand because it's so tremendous. This is the chacham, the man of pure intellect. V'hinei. Right, we've set our scene, but we need conflict. Right, v'hine, bein kitot bnei ha'adam hamiyashvim et ha'olam ish le'evro, amongst the different groups of people sitting around, each one according to their own way, hayayom yomorei kata chasidim. Right, he would see this group of chasidim, hakruim v'holchim l'tumam l'prishutam v'chasidutam, who were reading and they're walking around, you know, very simply in their precious, their separation. Most of this book is going to be about understanding what precious means. Whatever precious does mean, some sort of separation, and their chasidus, their piety. Marbim v'amirat ha'mizmorim, who are constantly saying tehilim, umarechim b'tefilah, and constantly engaged in tefilah v'kayotze b'zeh, and these types of things. Uvechol eid shayah ro'e otam, every time this chacham would see these chasidim, His whole body would start to shake. His spirit would tremble within him. And he would say, Ma neshimai lo sim? What are these people doing? Ma yunam? What is their investigation? Ma askalatam? What is their intellect? Eich nafsham svea v'sichlam shakit betocham. How can their soul be full inside of them? How can their mind be quiet? Ein ucham margizam? Is their spirit not agitated? Ein libam nufkam ledat? Isn't their heart pounding to know, lachkor la'avin, to investigate and to understand? Be'esrim mizmorim shiomru bayom echad, dai lehem v'hoter, ukvar si'ifehem nachim u'shketim. They say like 20 mizmorei tehilim, and suddenly their thoughts are quiet and everything's okay? That's enough? What are these people doing with their time? What is this? This is not Judaism. What are they doing? And it made him crazy. Va'ani kol yamai mitzta'er al hachokhma v'amada. My whole life is worrying and looking into chokhma and mada, looking into intellect and looking into the physical world. V'acheshek l'chidushei ha'yidiot eninu maniach li lishon. And the desire to understand never gives me the opportunity for my mind to even quiet down. My mind's always running. My mind is always racing. I can't even sleep. V'eineni motzei korat ruach klal b'ma she'eno chakira sichlit. And I can't find any rest at all if there's no intellectual investigation or some grasping of new things that will explain and that will clarify and that will show me more truth. So he says, "Mi tain if only they shave pam achat shtaim shalosh shaot im echad mehem ve'eshma ma befiv. If only I could sit 2 or 3 hours with one of them and hear what's in their mouths. Mahi ma yidiot asher hu yodea v'chol hitbodeduto v'chol kriat svarav. What is the knowledge which they learn from all of their hitbodedut, from all of their separation, from all of their isolation when they sit by themselves in deep contemplation? V'chol kriat svarav, and all of their reading of these books, sifrei chasidim asher hu korei b'hem tamid, these books of chasidus that they're reading all the time. Ki eneni yachol damot b'libi, because I can't imagine in my heart. Ma min ha'idiot yitzavahem. I don't know what knowledge can possibly come out of these books that they're reading. Ani me'amai, says the Chacham, in my whole life. Lo ibadati sha'a achat ba'ila hasarim. I haven't wasted a minute of my life on these books. Velo chashak libi lirot etam klal. And I've had no desire to look at them at all. Shani kvar yadati, because I already know shelo arviach b'hem shum chokhma. I would not gain any knowledge from them. Ve'ela mibok er la'erev, sfarim yelubi adam. And from day to night, they've got these books in their hands. Ki'ilu lo shamu me'olam, as if they've never heard in their entire life. Shazirik adam liot tzadik v'yashar v'ne'eman, that a person's supposed to be a tzadik, that a person's supposed to be straightforward, that a person's supposed to be faithful. Have they never heard this before? They need to keep reading it? Is it unclear to them? V'lo yeh rasha, not to be an evil person. V'lo yeh avor v'rod, not to do averas, not to transgress against God. Was this not clear that they need to review this every day? What's the problem? Chai nafshi, ki ta'avati rabba lishmoach anem. I just want to hear from one of them. Ve'eda b'men nafsho mitratzeit uv'men marveh et tzimono. And I want to know, how is their soul appeased and how are they quenching their thirst? The last paragraph that we'll do for today. Vayi ayom, and on that very day, wouldn't you know it? On that very day. Vayar isha mehem balikrato. One of the chassidim went over and walked up to him. One of these chassids came and walked up to him. Asher, even more so, biyameinu urehem hayu ohavim zeh et zeh. They were actually very, very close friends when they were younger. However, you know, rachmana litzlan, v'achar kach, ahu parash mimenu v'yekneis bekata chassidim. But as they grew apart when they got older, and he became a chassid, he went to become a chacham, and they never spoke after that. V'achar kach ha'isha hu parash minu v'yichnas bekata chassidim, and he went to become one of these chassidim. V'lo ra'ahu od ad hayom hazeh, and he hadn't seen him again until this very day. V'yikir ototo, when he saw him, samach me'od v'amar, he was so happy, and he said, ach zeh hayom shekivitihu matzati ra'iti. This very day that I hoped for it, I found it and I saw it. V'yarat tikrato, he ran up to the chassid, b'simcha rabba, with tremendous joy. V'yishtachu lo, and he bowed to him. V'yishalu yishtarei lo shalom, they each said hello, that was the big happy reunion. V'yive'eu al beito, v'yanichu ma'at. And he brought him to his house and they rested for a minute. Az amar ha-chacham, and so our play begins. Az amar ha-chacham, the chacham then said, Im ritzoncha achi, if it is your desire, my brother, kabdini na, v'nishma yachdav shtayim shalosh sha'ot, ki ish dvarim elecha. Please give me the kavod if it's okay with you, if it appeases you, and sit with me 2-3 hours, for I have matters that I would like to discuss with you. End scene. And that's how we're going to leave off in terms of seeing what the content of that conversation is. A few reflections on the opening and what the Ramchal set up for us. Remember again, the Ramchal is a playwright. What did the Ramchal set up for us here? We have a person. It's okay. The Ramchal set up for us here. He set up for us that we have this person who has all of this knowledge, but he doesn't have any knowledge of what chassidus is. What is chassidut? And what's amazing is that he looks around and sees so many different types of people in the world. What type of person makes him go crazy? The chassidim. That's a big musar in life in and of itself. When something really agitates us, it's usually hinting to the fact that there's something about it which really speaks to me. There's something in myself that I'm seeing that's not correct. And that's why of all of the groups in the entire world, this group was making him crazy. And we see that disparity in his own words. What does he say? I would love to sit down with one of these people and just hear, what are they finding in these sfarim? What are they finding in these books? What's the next sentence? But I would never in my life waste an hour reading them, because there's nothing in there. This push and pull of, if I'm a chacham and I know everything, but I don't know this, how can this be chachma? Because I'm a chacham and I need to know it. But if I don't know it, then it must not be chachma, or else I'm not a chacham. And he's struggling with it. He's struggling with the content. He's struggling with what it is. He's struggling with the fact that it's not a part of his life. And so he goes to engage the chassid and says, what's this all about? And our journey together will be first to sit in the shoes of the chacham and understand what it means to be in the place of the chacham, to have the lack of perspective. And then we'll spend the rest of the year exploring what chassidut is according to the Ramchal as the chassid takes the chacham on that journey through the path of chassidut. Bezrat Hashem.